Blog Talk Radio.
Which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host, your brother, your friend, as always, Father Pa, and welcome y'all to another edition, another episode of Bible Talk. This is my Tuesday, FYI, for your information, and the title is The Ordinance of the Passover, Part 2, man. I want to say shalom, man, and apologize to everyone for, excuse me, not going on Tuesday, but Blog Talk is having some technical difficulties. Sad to say, it's something that we've become accustomed to dealing with Blog Talk. They need to stop tripping so much. and be more consistent. I would like that. But I'd like to apologize to y'all for missing that Tuesday. And when we have these technical difficulties, y'all, we'd be just as disappointed as y'all, even if not even more, man, because we'd be ready to go. I mean, we'd be straight up set up, ready to go, got our class together, got our minds together, ready to do the damn thing, and only to log in to find out they got damn technical issues, man. So, like I said, man, we'd be just as upset as y'all do when we miss those classes. But, y'all, we are here in the present. I hope everybody had a great weekend, man, a good Shabbat. Hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody is feeling good, man, in good spirits. I want to send shouts out to our affiliated schools, the brothers here in San Antonio, man, led by the brother of war, the brothers down in H-Town, led by the brother Quatazop, the brothers up in VA, led by Kazakia, and the brothers up in Rochester, led by brother Zainala. Shouts out to all those brothers and sisters, and shouts out to our Israelite sisters and brothers that are out in California, Atlanta, Canada, and shouts out to Kyle Cobb down in Guatemala, man. So let me go ahead and get started, y'all. If it's your first time tuning in to the show, yes, we are the people of the book, the Hebrew Israelites. Hebrew being our language, Israelite being our nationality. We are the people of the book, which we've proven here time and time again. We have countless broadcasts of us proving that we are beyond a reason of a doubt. The people of the book, the Hebrew Israelites that are scattered through the four corners of the globe, but specifically in the Western Hemisphere, the parts of that we know, in the Western Hemisphere, those so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, we are truly the people of the book. We proved this. We brought out countless secular sources to prove this. I don't know why people are still doubting this and disputing this. It's like, it's pointless at this point. But anyway, that's who we are, man. And we use the Bible as well as other secondary sources to do like the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, which is to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And we know that the Bible is the good book, the book of information. So we hold on to it. That's the business we stand on around here, is the Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth, or the volume of books, y'all. So that's what this show is about. Like I said, this is FYI for your information Thursdays. It's a little different than I do Tuesday. On Tuesday, I do about an hour of news followed by a topic. But on Thursdays, I just go straight into the topic. So this is a continuation of last week. And we definitely will get finished with this topic this evening. We're going to do a little recap, though. But before I get into that, let's get Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this is the prayer we need to be sending up on the daily, y'all, so we can get the hell on, man. Excuse me for a second, y'all. I got a Smokey up in his peas. And she should be joining us shortly, y'all. So let's get Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. Please, hurry with that. Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you will come out better on the other side because of it. Please believe me. All right, y'all, let's get into it. But, oh, before we do, man, I want to send a special, special shout out, man, to a brother I got reacquainted with weekend before last at the celebration we had for Passover, the brother Ash Amak. Ash Amak, man. He was with the camp many moons ago, man. But the brother went away, but he's back now, man. He's back. He's back, full of the spirit. It's good to see the brother. So special shout out to you, brother. All right, so last week, y'all, we were in Exodus chapter 12, which is pretty much what this class is based off of. And all of this comes from a question that was asked. Can a nation partake in the Passover meal? And what we found out last week, according to Exodus chapter 12, and verse 44, yes, a nation can partake in the Passover supper. Let's read that. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 44. But every man, matter of fact, let's start at 43. Let's just do a small recap. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Therefore shall no stranger eat thereof. Now, we discussed this last week. See that semicolon there? This means that the statement continues. This is why in verse 44 it says, but. Because you have some people that will read this and say, see, no stranger. And the stranger is a nation. No stranger or no nation. Because we went through this last week, breaking down how this stranger is a nation. And strangers, the word stranger is used several times in the Bible, a whole bunch of times, actually. And it does not have the same meaning all the time, which we're definitely going to get into this evening as we finish up the class. But this stranger here in verse 43 is talking about another nation. And it's talking about those nations that came out with us when we came out during the time of Exodus. And those nations would have been the ones that had been left in Egypt, that stayed in Egypt because of the famine. And they came there during the time of Joseph, our forefather. All right, we went over that last week. So that's who we're talking about in verse 43. Verse 44. But, this is a continuation from 43, but every man's servant that is bought for money. So who would be the servants that were bought for money? These would be our slaves, basically. And they were of the other nations. And we touched on this last week. We went into Genesis chapter 17. Well, our forefather Abraham had his many servants, which he had, but the Most High told him to circumcise all those male servants that was in his house, the ones that was there. Matter of fact, let's just get it. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17. Verse 17. And let's go to verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So this is the Most High speaking to Abraham. Matter of fact, this is number the verse 1, so I can prove it. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty. I'm sorry. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So this is the Most High speaking. Going back to verse 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So y'all see this, right? Verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Now he said every man child. So every man child that Abram had at this particular time that came out of his loins, he was supposed to circumcise them. So that would mean he would circumcise Ishmael. He would also circumcise Isaac. In verse 11, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money Now, this is the part I wanted to get to. Listen to this. He that is born in the house. Y'all see this, right? So he that was born in the house, it says, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. So verse 10, you read, and he's talking about any man child that came out of the loins of our forefather Abraham. Then you get to verse 12, and you see that it extends to all his property, which would be his slaves. That's why he says, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, not of your kinfolk. So they had to be circumcised as well. Verse 13, he that is born in thy house, and he that is brought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. I hope everybody sees this. So by the time we get to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 44, this is nothing new. This is something that we always did. This was given by our forefather Abraham, who passed it down to our other forefather Isaac, who passed it down to our forefather Jacob. And Jacob passed it down to his children, the patriarchs, the 12 tribes, his 12 sons. And they brought all of these servants, which they had circumcised, into the land of Egypt. So by the time we get to Exodus chapter 12, verse 44, this is the Most High reminding us, we got to circumcise. If you got a servant that you bought for money, a servant that belongs to you, being circumcised, circumcise him. Verse 44 again. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So these are the nations. Were they allowed to eat the Passover supper? Yes, they were, once they were circumcised. But which type of nation in particular? The ones that we own, our servants, our slaves. Verse 43 is not the people that we own. These are the people that came out with us, the other nations. Because remember, Egypt got hit with 10 plagues. A lot of people didn't want to stay there no more. After they seen our power, the Most High, destroy Egypt with all those plagues, proving that he was stronger, mightier than all the gods that the Egyptians worshipped, the ones they had statues up and everywhere all over Egypt. So a lot of nations are like, man, the Egyptians ain't strong. I'm going to leave with these people. Their God is strong. So that's verse 43. In verse 44, these would be our servants. All right? The people that we actually own. The term slave that we're all familiar with. Now, verse 45. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now, we went over this last week too, but we recap it, so let's get this. Who is the foreigner? I have a fact, but I want to get that. We got time. Let's go back to verse 43. So we got Genesis chapter 17, but I want to pair this up with Leviticus chapter 25. I'm going to read it again. Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, verse 44, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. All right, so once again, talking about the slaves that we own, that were of the other nations. We proved that in Genesis chapter 17. Now let's get it in Leviticus chapter 25. And I know a lot of brothers and sisters ain't trying to hear this. A lot of Israelites ain't trying to hear that a nation can come and partake at the Passover meal. They ain't trying to hear that, man. And once upon a time, I wasn't trying to hear it either. So I had to go back and do like the Bible says, reading the book of the Lord distinctly, meaning very carefully, and break these precepts down to get understanding of it. So, yes, we did own slaves of the other nations back in the day when we left out of Egypt. So you might ask, well, tell the power, how would that apply to today since we don't own these nations? Well, that would still apply because let's say you get a nation that comes into the truth and they know they're a nation. They know their position, but they want to serve. They want to help. So they pay their tithes. They get their vehicles up. They help the camp out, whether it be financially or physically. They go to work for the camp or whatever they're doing for the camp. Wouldn't that technically make them a servant? Wouldn't it? Practically speaking, aside from us actually owning them, like owning a human being like we used to. But by them serving the camp, that would still make them a servant, even though technically we don't own them. So could they partake? Yeah, they could partake. What would I recommend? How would that look like in practicality? They would have their own table. They would have their own table. Because as we're going to get into in this class, that's what the other nations are going to be doing anyway. So them coming to a Passover and being separated at their own space and serving the Most High and partaking in the meal is just them getting a head start. It's just them getting a head start. All right, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44. Both thy bondmen and thy maid, I'm sorry, both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen. The word heathen means nation or Gentile. The three words are synonymous with each other. That are round about you, of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Y'all see this, right? Verse 45, trip off of this. Moreover, of the children of the strangers, see this word, that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possessions. Hope y'all seeing this. So we couldn't enslave a brother or sister like this, but we could do a nation like this, which we did. We owned other nations. You hear people talk about it all the time. Slavery's in the Bible. Yeah, it is. We're reading it right now. But it's not the type of slavery that we're familiar with, and that being the transatlantic slave trade and the many places that it dropped us off at and the way we were treated as slaves. Our families were split up. We were fed the worst foods. We were did the worst type of way. Well, the Most High has rules regarding how we could treat these slaves. We just couldn't treat and do them any old kind of way like we were done here in the Americas and other places around the world. But yes, we did actually have slaves. It's verse 46. And ye shall take them as an inheritance. Y'all see this? As an inheritance for your children after you. This is saying basically the same thing we just read in Genesis chapter 17. When it talks about servants that were born in your house, that means that you own generations of nations for slaves, and you pass those generations down to the next generation, your next generation under you. This is what it said, verse 46. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you. See, in this day and age, we talk about generational wealth. This used to be the generational wealth. You don't believe me? Go back and study the transatlantic slave trade and all the wealth that it brought the Americas and Europe. But what was that? That was our ancestors as slaves being handed down from generation to generation to generation to generation as slaves to our captors. And they benefited from what? Free labor. You don't have to pay slaves. You don't have to pay a slave. They work for free. Like us. This is why our people is still groaning and moaning about damn 40 acres in the mill. Moaning and groaning about reparations. which could never repair us, because what the word reparation means, it means to repair. But this is why our people are groaning, because we see this country and all its wealth, and we know that if it wasn't for us being here, working for free, they never would be what they call the greatest country in the world, the strongest country in the world, the richest country in the world. It never would be if it wasn't for us, our ancestors, from generation to generations. And some of us are fortunate enough to go and talk to our great-grandmothers and great-great-grandfathers to get information on slavery and how it was to live in those times. The proof is in the pudding. But that's what you get when you have generations upon generations of free labor by way of slaves. You get enormous wealth. And this is what we had. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 46 again. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. So we couldn't do this to each other, but we could do it to a nation once upon a time. And then, you know, makes you scratch your head too, because in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the Most High talked about all of this. And he talks about how everything is going to be flipped. So from verse 1 to verse 15, all the blessings. And we're reading how we were blessed too, by way of the Most High, by this free labor. So from verse 1 to 15, all the blessings. So we had that free labor. Then he gave us the flip side. If you don't listen, if you didn't follow, then what would happen to us? The reverse. So what we were doing to the nations, they were going to do to us. And that happened. We're living in it right now. But anyway, back to my point. This is where the strangers would come from. These were our slaves, verse Exodus, going back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 44 again. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So yeah, we had nations eating the Passover, but they're in the position of servitude. They were our slaves, y'all. Hope everybody sees this. Now, moving on to verse 45, this is where we stopped last week. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now, I have an apology to make concerning this verse, because last week I broke this verse down very incorrectly. I started going into Haran and how he had a relationship with David and Solomon, and he was not a hired servant, y'all. I'm going to say it again. I had that part wrong last week. Haran was not a hired servant. Him and David and Solomon were bargaining or bartering. They were trading. They were trading things. But I had to go back in the book to get better understanding on what a hired servant was. Now, let's go to the Compact Bible, the Compact Topical Bible Dictionary. This is page 205. Hired servant. And it cites Jacob. It says Genesis chapter 29, verse 15. Genesis 30, 26. It says reemployed. Genesis 30, 27. It says laborers for a vineyard. So basically, y'all, a hired servant was somebody that you paid to work for you. He didn't work for free. He actually got paid. If we can't understand what this would look like based off the knowledge and the things that we know, let's use the example of the indentured servants that came over here. Some before the transatlantic slave trade, some afterwards. But the indentured servants, they weren't black and brown people. They were Edomites. Most of them were Edomites. But an indentured servant, they would come over here, and they didn't have their initial fee for the voyage over here, but they would get over here, and they will work for X amount of years, and that's how they would pay for their travel over here to the Americas. Hence, indentured servant. They got paid. Okay? Don't get it twisted. They weren't slaves like us. They got paid. But that's what a hired servant is. Now, it gave us a couple examples. So let's get these, and then I got some more. Let's go to Genesis chapter 29. We're going to read verse 15. So let me reiterate. Last week, I got it wrong, the hired servant part. Got that wrong. So if you took notes and you ran with that, please scratch it out. That was incorrect. I apologize for that. So hired servant, Genesis 29, verse 15. And it reads, "And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? So he said, since we kin folks, and Laban was his uncle, he said, are you going to serve me for nothing? Now listen to what he says. Tell me what shall thy wages be? So he asked, okay, so I ain't going to have you working for me for free. What's your wages? What do you want to get paid? What are you expecting out of this? Now listen to what he said, our forefather Jacob, verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. So basically, yeah, verse 19, they struck a deal. I'm going to work for you 7 years, and my payment is going to be your daughter. So this is an example of what a hired servant would be. Now, let's go to, let me see what else did I have. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 7 and verse 6. So 2 Kings, chapter 7. In verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, listen to this, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So this was us, the Israelites. Who did we hire? We hired the Hittites, which are the Africans, and the Egyptians. I'm sorry, Egyptians, more Africans. And these would be basically mercenaries, people that we hired to fight alongside of us, that we hired to be in our army. This is an example, another example of what a hired servant would be. All right, so let's get 2 Chronicles now, chapter 24 and verse 12. Second Chronicles chapter 24, verse 12, and it reads, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord. So this is another example of what? A hired servant. It says, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So they got paid for service. That's a hired servant. Now let's get Ezra. Oh, man, come on. Is the right words? No, let's go to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22, we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to read quite a bit of this. So Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So this is when we came out of the land of Egypt, going into the promised land. And it says that the children of Moab, Lot's kids, today will be your current day Chinese people, they was distressed because of it. They was going through changes. Verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor, king of the Moabites at that time. So, and this is the during the time of Joshua's conquest. He was taking all the land that the Most High told us to take, that he expounded to Moses we were going to take, and all the nations we were going to be slaughtering and killing. This is why the Moabites were scared, because they had heard word that we was killing people, conquering lands. Verse 5. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Peor, to Pethro, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Now, I did my research on this cat Balaam, man, and as far as I could tell, Balaam, he was not an Israelite, that's for certain, but he may have been a Hebrew. And the reason I say this is because it calls him our people in verse 5. It says, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. So this king, this Moabite king, is trying to hire Balaam, who, like I said, I suspect was a Hebrew, trying to hire him to go against us and for him to tell Balaam or this king our weakness. Verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. So what he's trying to do is hire Balaam for a job. So this is another example of a hired servant. This particular job would be to destroy us. So reading on, they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. You see how they brought him a reward? Because they were trying to do what? Hire him. Hire him for a job. He was also a hired servant. Another example of a hired servant. You know. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? So the Most High said, okay, who are these people that's with you? Verse 10. And Balaam said unto the God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, had sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Verse 12, this is what the Most High told. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So the Most High told him, nope, you're not going to take this job. So the Most High is his boss, like his foreman, like, nope, you ain't doing that job. You're not getting hired for that. Not for that position. No, sir. So this would be another example of what a hired servant is, y'all. Hope everybody got that. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And read verse 45 again. a foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. So, once again, this foreigner is also talking about a stranger. It's also talking about a nation. And these the hired servant, we've been talking about a nation also, somebody working for money. So they could partake in the Passover meal. They couldn't partake in the Passover supper. No. The Most High was like, no, they're not having it. First of all, they're foreigners that we don't own, and they're hired servants. They work for money. So they can't eat. They cannot partake. Hope everybody see this. Now, let's read on. Let's go to verse 46. In one house shall it be eaten. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And you see this, right? It says all the congregation. The word congregation, the root word, means the gathering of people. So this is definitely applied to us, but this is who all was with us, this large gathering of people. Verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee. Now, I went over this last week also. It says, and when a stranger, this is future tense. This hasn't happened yet. So this is letting us know two things. This is going to happen. This stranger is talking about a totally different type of stranger. The word stranger, like I said, once again, is used in several different types of ways all throughout the Bible. And we're going to dig into it and find out what type of stranger this is. Because it's not the same type of stranger as verse 43. Because verse 43 said a stranger should eat. Remember? That wouldn't make sense if you come back to 48 and says, when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord. You see how it's two different types of strangers? That would make sense. Verse 48 would contradict verse 43. So we know it's not talking about the same type of stranger. Verse 48 again. And when a stranger, when, future tense, shall sojourn with thee, meaning when a stranger shall come and lodge with you or travel with you and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. So that's stipulation once again. He has to be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. He should be like somebody that was born in your location, the location that y'all in. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. All right, now we got to unpack this. What type of stranger is this talking about right here? All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and 1. Some people will read this and they'll think that it's talking about the same type of stranger that's in verse 43. But like I said, that would make no sense. Precept must be upon precept, not upon line. Here, look at that. Look. So we're going to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, y'all, to get what stranger this is talking about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. See that word again. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. All right, y'all see that, right? Who is this stranger that's scattered? Key words, strangers, scattered. What strangers were scattered? Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee. Who is the thee? The Israelites. Because that's who this whole book was written about. It's our history. Old Testament, New Testament, don't change. It's still the Israelite history. The plight of the Israelite. We're reading from the book of Deuteronomy, and you're reading Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. It says, this be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan. So this was Moses' farewell letter that he wrote to the Israelites. And what was he warning us of? Verse 64. and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth, even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So this was going out to the Israelites that was going to be scattered. The Most High said, and you can read from verse 15, if you didn't keep the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, this was going to happen to us. We were going to be scattered. This is why Peter says this in his first letter that he wrote to the Israelites, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. What strangers? Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So he was talking about those Israelites from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, that was going to be scattered throughout all of these nations. Now, the Israelites have had many captivities. Many. But we had four major captivities. The Assyrian captivity, which took out the northern empire or the northern kingdom of Israel under Jeroboam, the Ephraimite. And we know that they were scattered all throughout the globe at that particular time. Then we had the Babylonian captivity, and that was the southern kingdom that Solomon's son Rehoboam had rulership over. But they didn't go into the Babylonian captivity to way after Rehoboam had died. But anyway, the Babylonian captivity, which the Israelites were in, and we were scattered all throughout the globe in that captivity. Because the Babylonian Empire, if I'm not mistaken, it was what's called Asia Minor, parts of what's now called the Levant, or the Middle East, and other territories. I should have brought my map out. So that was the Babylonians. Then we had the Persian Mede captivity, which we know extended all the way into India and parts of Central Asia, Asia Minor, all throughout Asia. Like I said, India, China, their empire was vast. But you had Israelites scattered through all those territories and all those colonies that they had owned. Then we had the Greek captivity under Alexander. And we know that the Greeks, they conquered the Persian Mede Empire, so they took over all the stuff that they had took over from the Babylonians. So they had colonies everywhere in which the Israelites were scattered into, and specifically some of the ones that just named in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We were scattered through those places. Then we had, I'm sorry, I said it was four, it was five major captivities. The Roman captivity, which scattered us even more. Y'all remember the term or the phrase in history, it says all roads lead to Rome, because they had that many colonies, and you had Israelites scattered throughout all of them, and they were known as what? Strangers. Why? Because they weren't from those lands. This is why in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he refers to them as strangers. Who are they strangers to? They're strangers. We're going to get into it. To the Commonwealth of Israel. And they're strangers to the nations that they were living amongst. So I'm going to read this again. And we're going to pair this too in a second with Ephesians chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Strangers, he called them. Now, watch this. Ephesians, matter of fact, before we jump to Ephesians, let's get Esther. Let's get Esther chapter 3. Let me put a bookmark because we're going to come back to Peter. Let's get the book of Esther, y'all. Boom. So we're going to Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. Uh-oh, my bad, y'all. We're going to Apocrypha. Esther 3 and 8, which would be the rest of Esther in the Apocrypha. Wait a minute. Did I get that? 3 and 8. Oh, I'm tripping, y'all. It is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Esther 3 and 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, and remember, Haman was from the lineage of the Amalekites, y'all, which we find out the Amalekites ended up being the Macedonians. Same people, man. Edomites. They're all from the lineage of Esau. You can use Genesis, the 36th chapter. And it breaks down the who the Amalekites were. And you compare that with what we're reading in Esther, as well as what we're reading in the Bible, Esther and the Apocrypha also. So anyway, Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people, listen to this, scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Now, this is during the time of the Persian Medes. Captivity, which I talked about earlier. And he said that these people were scattered and that they was dispersed. So these were the Israelites that were part of the diaspora or the diaspora. We were scattered throughout the four corners. This is why Peter said this. Let's go back there now. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Y'all see this, right? So it's talking about the same people that Haman, this Edomite Haman, is talking about in the book of Esther, chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophets to suffer them. So this was us in a strange land. We were strangers. Y'all see that, right? But we were also strangers to those Israelites who grew up as Israelites, who knew they were Israelites. Let me prove y'all this. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 11, now watch this. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. What is Paul talking about? In times past, you were Gentiles in the flesh. These were Israelites that weren't circumcised, y'all. They were not circumcised in flesh or circumcised in mind, so where they even knew who they were. They even knew their history, because that's why Paul and even Stephen in the book of Acts would allude and give a concise breakdown of our history. There was a lot of Israelites that they grew up and they just dove into these other nations and these other cultures and became those. No different than this day and age. How we just dive in to the American culture or whatever other culture. And we don't even know about us. We don't even know who we are as a people. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So what you had at this particular time was you had Israelites that grew up as Israelites who were circumcised, like the law of Moses says, the eighth day, they grew up knowing they were Israelites. But you had other Israelites that weren't circumcised, that didn't grow up like Israelites, that didn't know their nationality, that didn't know their heritage. And this is who Paul is talking to. This is who he was the apostle of. Verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, This is what he's saying. Y'all were without the Messiah. The Messiah didn't apply to y'all because y'all weren't being Israelites. Y'all didn't take up y'all heritage and y'all nationality as to who y'all really were. Y'all were pagans. Because the Israelites believed in what? Monotheism, the belief in one God, one power, that being the Most High. Read it again, verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And what else did he call it? And, let me get this ready, strangers. See how these Israelites were called strangers? What were they estranged from, though? Listen to this. From the covenant. What's a covenant? It's a contract. What contracts? How about, let's start with the first contract that the Most High made. Well, not the first one, but one of the first contracts he made with our forefather Noah. The rainbow. He wasn't going to flood the earth no more by water. And we know that Noah's son Shem inherited the Most High. Japheth didn't. Ham didn't. Shem. It said, blessed be the God of Shem. And from Shem's lineage led all the way up to the Israelites, to us. So that contract. What other contract? What about the contract of circumcision that was given to our forefather Abraham, which is in question at this particular verse? Hope everybody sees this. That covenant. What other contract? What other covenant? How about keeping the law, statutes of the Most High, the law, statutes, and the commandments? How about that one? And how about what? The Messiah coming to save us out of captivity. Because every captivity that we've been in, the Most High has always sent what? A Messiah, a Savior. So Paul's telling these Israelites, who we refer to as strangers, that they've been strangers from the covenants, which is our heritage, our identity, our nationhood. They've been strangers to that. It says of promise. The covenants of promise, what? That we want to be saved out of captivity, that we want to get the kingdom. So you had Israelites that were estranged from that Paul called what? Strangers. Reading on. Having no hope and without God in the world. And these Israelites didn't have any hope, and they were without the Most High because they were in idolatry. They had all those other gods, which are no gods. This is who Paul was talking to. But remember, he called them what? Strangers. Now watch this, verse 13. But now that you know who you are, now you know your nationality, now that you know you're an Israelite, but now in Jesus Christ, ye who sometimes were far off from who? Your people, your nationality, your inheritance, or made nigh, the word nigh means near. You're made near by what? By the blood of Christ, because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for the Israelites to be redeemed back to the Most High. I hope y'all seeing this. But back to the point, these Israelites are referred to as what? As strangers. So this is the Most High giving Moses instructions way back in in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, meaning what? One of your brothers, one of your relatives that ain't from where you from, or that didn't grow up as an Israelite. This is why he says, and will keep the Passover of the Lord to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. You see this, right? Let them be circumcised. Now, you might ask yourself, well, why wouldn't these Israelites who are called strangers be circumcised? The same thing Paul just brought out in the New Testament. They grew up in these other nations. They were once Gentiles in the flesh. Hope y'all seeing this. But you know how we do. We gonna prove it. So let's hold this and get Acts chapter 15 and verse 24. Acts Acts chapter 15, verse 24, because this was a big issue. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, the you is talking about these Israelites, who they're referring to as Gentiles. They grew up as Gentiles, but they were really Israelites. So he's talking to them. It says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised. See this? And keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. Because remember, where did they get this whole idea that they had to be circumcised from? From our forefather Abraham, which Moses broke down in the law. The law of circumcision, circumcision being circumcised the eighth day, as well as Exodus chapter 12 we just read. They had to be circumcised before they did what? Kept the Passover supper, the Passover meal. So it was a big debate amongst the Israelites. No, man, they got to be circumcised. But listen to what the verdict, verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. They went to the Gentiles, these Israelites who grew up as Gentiles, verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So Barnabas and Paul was going to tell them this. Judas and Silas was going to tell them this. Tell them what? Verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So he's saying, man, we don't think it's fair to put this on y'all, because y'all just found out y'all Israelites. Now you got these brothers saying y'all better be circumcised. Verse 29. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So, what was the determination? Let's stop banging on them being circumcised so much, and let's just tell these Israelites who just found out they're Israel, hey, man, stop being an idolater. Hey, man. Stop eating food with blood in it. Hey, man, stop eating dead things. And stop fornicating. We're going to keep it there for right now. This was the verdict that they had. I hope everybody see this. Now, you ask yourself, why weren't they circumcised? Once again, they didn't grow up as Israelites. They grew up as nations. Proving this, stay in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Debre and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, means she was an Israelite, she was a Jew, northern or southern kingdom. Matter of fact, she could have been from either one, because after the Babylonian captivity, they started referring to all Israelites, no matter the tribe, as a Jew. It says, and believed. But his father was a Greek. So we find out that his mama grew up as a practicing Israelite, but his dad, they call him a Greek. Meaning what? He wasn't a practicing Israelite. He grew up like a nation. You get a lot of people read this and say, see, he was a Greek. Come on, y'all. We pick up the Bible and we just lose our damn mind. And we've been brainwashed from what America has taught us. We get somebody speaking Spanish, and we automatically assume that they're a Spaniard. But the so-called Mexicans, they didn't come from Spain. How are they Spaniards? They're indigenous people that were taught that language. That doesn't make them Spaniards. And here I use the example of a Greek. Ain't it an NBA player right now? Giannis Antetokounmpo, they call him what? The Greek freak. Why they call him the Greek freak? Because he's from Greece. Yeah, he lived in Greece, but what's his origin? That brother, I believe, is from Nigeria. He's from Nigeria, from the continent of Africa, who ended up in Greece and speaks the language of the Greeks. And that, now they call him the Greek freak and saying he Greek. But his origin is from Nigeria. Come on, y'all, stop. It's the same thing here. So Timothy's father was an Israelite, but he was not a practicing Israelite. He grew up like a Greek, like a nation, like the Grecians. Now, this is part of our history. I'm going to prove this. Let's get First Maccabees. See, this terminology be throwing people off, man, and it gives the nations access to try to slide on in to be part of something that's so exclusive that the pagan Christian society at large tries to make inclusive. So 1 Maccabees chapter 1, we're going to read verse 11. We're going to be straight to the point. So this is during the time, matter of fact, you got to read verse 1. And it happened after that Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Chittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persian and Medes. So this is the Greeks coming in, taking over, conquering. They went against the Persian and Medes, and guess what? They won. And they had conquered the known living world. So we already read how the Persian and Medes had all those providences. We got that in the book of Esther, chapter 3, remember? So these are the Greeks coming in under Alexander, the so-called great, who they got all those colonies that the Persian and Medes owned. Who were there? The Israelites. Now, reading this again, and it happened. After the Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Chittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persians and Medes, that he reigned in his stead, the first over Greece. So this is the so-called white man coming into power, because that's who the Grecians were. All right, now it's into verse 11. Let's see what they did. In those days, went there out Israel. I'm sorry. In those days, went there out of Israel. Of who? Of Israel. Of our nation. There were what? Scattered through all these lands, wicked men, who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant or a contract with the heathen, meaning the other nations. What type of contract were they going to make that are around about us? For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow. So it was once upon a time that we didn't mingle, because the Most High told us not to mingle with the other nations. Remember? Deuteronomy chapter 7, see that source. But we were mingling with them. Now, who is the them in this particular moment? The Greeks. This was called Hellenization, being Hellenized. Verse 12. So this device pleased them well. Then certain of the people were so forward, herein, that they went to the king, who gave them license to do after the ordinances of the heathen. So the king gave these Israelite men, referred to as wicked, and they were, permission to be like them. Now, how was they going to be like them? Verse 14. Whereupon they built a place of exercise, a gym, from the root word of gym is gymnos, which means naked. So they would be in the gym working out butt naked like the Greeks were. This is why all the Greek statues are what? Naked. At Jerusalem, so these Israelites built a gym at Jerusalem in our homeland. It says, according to the custom of the heathen, the Greeks, verse 15, and made themselves, listen to this, these Israelites made themselves uncircumcised. Y'all see this, right? But this was a custom of who? The heathen, not the Israelites. The Israelite custom and law and contract with the Most High was to be what? Circumcised. What you had Israelites that wanted to be like the Greeks, uncircumcised, listen to this, and forsook the holy covenant. So you have these Israelites who circumcised themselves that they didn't want no dealings with the Most High. That's why I said they forsook the holy covenant or the contract. They broke the contract that we had with the Most High. And did what? And joined themselves to the heathen. Y'all see this? What does it mean to join yourself to something? You become that. So you had Israelites that became Greeks, uncircumcised Greeks, running around with damn togas on and doing everything that the Greeks was doing, working out in the gym, butt booty naked, participating in the Olympics, butt booty naked, working out in the gym. This day we know it as bodybuilding. Because you look at the bodybuilding competitions, and these men are what? Almost naked, except for this little Speedo stone thing that they be having on. This is what was going on back during that time. And this has resonated in our spirit even to the day. Because niggas go to college, what's the first thing they want to do? I want to play as Greek Alpha. I want to play as Sigma Kappa. I'm a Kappa. I'm a Q. This is still in our spirit, even to this day. Read it again, verse 15. And made themselves uncircumcised and forsook the holy covenant. So we said, forget about the Most High, and joined themselves to the heathen. We became the heathen, like Timothy's father in the book of Acts we're reading. And were sold to do mischief. Y'all see this, right? So what would Timothy have been? He would have been alienated from the commonwealth of his people. He would have been referred to as a stranger. He would have been referred to as the uncircumcised that Paul was talking about, that Peter was talking about. Hope y'all seeing this. Now, let's get Isaiah chapter 11. Remember, y'all, this is all stemming from what we just read in Exodus chapter 12 and verse, 48, I think it was. Yeah, verse 48. So now we're going to go to Isaiah, because we're still dealing with these strangers, y'all. Isaiah 11 and 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord, shall set his hands again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. What remnant of his people? Huh? What is this talking about, y'all? We're going to find out. Which shall be left from Assyria. So where are Israelites scattered to? Assyria. And from Egypt. Where do you have Israelites at? Egypt. And from Pathros. Where do you have Israelites at? Pathros, which is northern Egypt. And from Cush, Ethiopia. And from Elam, India. And from Shinar, Iraq. And from Hamath, Syria. And from the island of the sea. These are the strangers, y'all, that it's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Also in Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. These are the strangers, these Israelites. I hope y'all seeing this. In fact, shout out to IUIC. They have a campaign that they're doing right now. They call them this Isaiah 11 and 11. And these brothers are everywhere. And all these places are just named in this verse. These brothers are in these places. Go on YouTube. Check them out, man. I don't agree with everything that they got going on and some of the doctrines that they teach. But I definitely take my hat off to these brothers that are going to these places, finding these scattered Israelites. Hope y'all see this, man. Verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. Now, why would he say nations? Because we were scattered throughout the nations. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed, the diaspora or the diaspora of Judah from the four corners of the earth. These would be your strangers. Hope y'all seeing this. So let's go back now. Let's go back to Exodus. chapter 12, verse 48. We're going to read this with a lot of understanding now. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. And when a stranger, once again, this is future tense. This ain't happened yet. These were not instructions that the Most High was giving Moses for right there that moment. This is for later on. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Talking about an Israelite. So you get an Israelite that came from another nation because he grew up in another nation. He was part of the diaspora, the diaspora. He was scattered. But he want to kick it with his people now, be an Israelite and fellowship. Okay, cool, bro. You can celebrate the Passover with us. Hey, you got to get circumcised, though. That's what it's saying. Well, you know, let all his males be circumcised. So his male family that came out of his loins, and he might have had some servants. Guess what? They would have to be circumcised as well. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. He should be like one that grew up there. He should be like one that grew up knowing he was an Israelite. This your brother. It says, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. No uncircumcised person, no uncircumcised Israelite. This is what it's talking about. Now, before we get all super religious, you have brothers say, oh, no, this brother, he ain't circumcised. Because we got a lot of brothers, older brothers in particular, that have never, they've never been circumcised. But remember what Paul, and not Paul, but the council, that we just read it too, that they had in Acts, the 15th chapter. Go back and read that chapter, y'all. Let's not get over religious, over righteous. Those brothers were allowed to congregate, even though they weren't circumcised. Y'all see this, right? And you go back and read in that chapter, and they told him, hey, man, they have Moses every Sabbath. Moses being taught every Sabbath. What does that mean? They'll learn the rest of the stuff that they're supposed to know when they go to Sabbath class. That's what that meant. We can't put, and I know I'm kind of going off topic, but we can't put burdens on brothers that ain't been circumcised and be hammering that, oh, you can't do this, because you can't do that, you ain't circumcised. Why don't you let a brother learn the law first? Why don't you let a brother get his spirit together first? Let him stop smoking weed first before we want to come at him about being circumcised. Let him put the cigarettes down. Let him stop wilding out in the street. Let him stop selling dope first before we want to come at him about him being uncircumcised. That's practical, y'all. But some of the stuff we be trying to do, being over-righteous, don't be practical. Like, man, that's... I don't know where we get that from, man. Well, I do. We really haven't been studying as much as we think we've been studying because even in the New Testament, you see how we were always practical. The Old Testament as well. Y'all remember the brother Josiah's Passover when the Israelites weren't clean. Everybody was unclean. Even the priest was unclean. But they still were allowed to partake in the Passover supper and then pray that the Most High forgive them for being unclean. That was practical. And that Passover was even held on the wrong day. It was practical, man. Come on, y'all. You can't be over-righteous. Robotic Israelites. Oh, no, I follow the letter of the law. And I hear y'all now. Oh, you telling people to break the law? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's be practical, man. All of us are not going to be Israelite cookie cutter perfect. That's not going to happen. Especially brothers and sisters coming directly out of the world. They still smell like damn cigarette smoke. Still smell like dank. Stop. Anyway, man, I'm on my way. I forgot where the hell I was at. Exodus chapter 12. Who was I at? Read verse 48 again, man. I'm sorry, y'all. All on my soapbox.
And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee.
So, Israelite brother, who, like I said, he ain't been around his people. Maybe just found out he's an Israelite. Whatever the situation might be, man. Read.
And we'll keep the Passover to the Lord.
But he wants to celebrate Passover. He wants to fellowship. Read.
Let all his males be circumcised.
Uh-huh.
And then let him come near and keep it.
And he can keep the Passover now. Now, once again, I brought this out earlier, and I made a statement that when you see the word stranger, it's used in several different ways. It's not always used the same way. Some people will say that verse 43 is the same as verse 48, but it's not. Because verse 43 says what? Read this again. And yeah, y'all, you haven't noticed. Hasadiah is joining us now. Read.
And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof.
So a stranger couldn't eat, according to verse 43, verse 48. Read.
And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised.
This is how you know it's not talking about the same type of stranger. I hope y'all see this, because this would completely contradict verse 44. Everybody see that? But who are the strangers? Once again, the strangers would be these Israelites that didn't grow up as Israelites. They were from other lands that weren't circumcised. Because once again, it says, and when? This is in future. This is not when we were coming out of Egypt. Hope y'all see this. So what did we establish so far? We established in verse 43, that these strangers were the other nations that was there during the time, that came during the time of Joseph in the famine, that came out with us, all right? They were not Israelites, but they came out with us, but they weren't allowed to partake in the Passover supper. Now, verse 44, these particular people were our slaves, all right? The ones we owned, and they could partake, and they were nations. They could partake of the Passover meal if they were circumcised. That was the only way they could partake. I hope y'all see this. Verse 45, a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. This is talking about nations too. And we went over what a hired servant was, somebody that worked for money. And I brought several examples of what that was, and also of informed everybody to fix their notes from the last time I went over there, because I had that wrong. So everybody got that. Now, you might ask, well, Sergeant Paul, are you saying that the nations are going to inherit the kingdom with us? Or are you saying that they're going to have the same privileges with us because you letting them sit down and eat Passover with us? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not even what the Bible's saying. So let's get what the Bible says about it. What's going to happen to the nations? Isaiah chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1. Let me catch up with you. Isaiah 2 and 1. Go for it.
The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem.
So, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So, concerning Israel. Read.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house.
When is this going to happen?
In the last days.
In the last days. When we get the kingdom. It says that the mountain of the Lord's house. The word mountain is talking about government. Because a mountain is the highest land terrain. What's the highest that you can get amongst a people, amongst a society? It's the government. So read this again.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain.
In the top of the government. That means plural. Around all the world. All the world's governments is going to be no longer in existence. There's only going to be one. And that's going to be the Most High. And it's going to be a dictatorship. The Most High, Yahweh Shai. And us. Read.
And shall be exalted above the hills.
Above all the nations. Read.
And all nations shall flow unto it.
Can you read that part again?
And all nations shall flow unto it.
All who?
All nations.
All nations. All nationalities. All heathen. All Gentiles. Because they're going to be subservient to our government. And what's going to be our document of laws is going to be the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments that the whole world is going to have to bow down and follow and adhere to. Read.
And many people shall go and come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord.
Let's go up to the government of the Most High. Read.
To the house of the God of Jacob.
To the house of the God, to the mountain of the Lord, Yahushua, it says, to the house of the God, the Most High of Jacob. So they come into what? What's the house of the Most High? It's the temple. They don't have to come up to the temple and do what? Mm-hmm. Read.
And he will teach us of his ways.
They don't have to get taught. They're going to have to get taught the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. They're going to have to get taught what? The dietary laws, the ceremonial laws, the civil laws, the moral laws. They're going to have to get taught all of that because the Most High's laws differ from the other nations and their laws. So guess what? The Moabites ain't going to be able to eat rat and dog and cat no more. They're going to be disappointed. The Elamites, the East Indian people, ain't going to be running around worshiping cows no more, talking about this they great-granddaddy reincarnated, and that's why they can't eat them. Guess what? They're going to be eating some cows. They got to get taught. Read.
And we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
From where?
Jerusalem.
This is going to be the world's headquarters. It's going to be Jerusalem. It's going to be the financial headquarters of the world, the military headquarters of the world, the moral headquarters of the world. I hope everybody's seeing this. It ain't going to be no more damn White House. It ain't going to be no bank district in England, because that's the World Financial District now. It ain't going to be the military capital is the Pentagon. No. It's going to be Jerusalem. So if you're a nation and you tuning in now, you listening, get ready. Get ready. You need to get your practice on. Servant Israelite, bow down now. Read.
And he shall judge among the nations.
Who's going to judge? Yahusha. Among the nations. Remember, he's called what? Lord of Lords, King of Kings. What's a king of a king? An emperor. Yahweh is going to be the emperor of the world. Read.
And shall rebuke many people.
And what is Christ going to be doing?
And shall rebuke many people.
He's going to be correcting many people, including Ishmael's kids. Because you know they women, they be thoughts. But they won't give you the vajayjay. They save that for marriage. But they'll give you the dookie shoot. Do your research. That goes on rampant throughout their custom. They'll save that for marriage, but you can have everything else. They like half of a thought, I guess. So Yahushua is going to be rebuking them. Read.
And they shall beat their swords into plowshares.
And all the nations, all them damn nuclear weapons that they got, those instruments of war that they got, is going to be turned into instruments of work. Because guess what the nation's finna do? They finna go to work, man. No different than they put us to work to build their nations. Now they finna build a righteous world. They going to work. Read.
And their spears into pruning hooks.
More instruments of work. Read.
Nation shall not lift up sword against nation.
Ain't going to be no more world wars, which I hope and pray we are on the brink of World War III right now. I don't know if y'all heard the news about those drones that Iran was bombing the small hats with, and everybody trying to get the small hats to stand down right now so they won't set off World War III. No. Instigate. Let them set it off. Get the hell on. We find out ain't going to be no more wars. When Yahushua's kingdom come, no more war. Read.
Neither shall they learn war anymore.
Told y'all one line. Read.
O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Now, you might ask yourself, okay, why is this going to happen in the end where these nations going to be learning our ways and learning what we do? Yeah, this, I don't know if y'all knew this. This is what the Most High intended it to be from the beginning. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 4. And story verse 5.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment.
This is the Most High. Moses talking about, the Most High talking about where Moses, I've taught you statutes and judgments. Read.
Even as the Lord my God commanded me,
mm-hmm.
that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it.
Where we go, keep the commandments. Read.
Keep therefore and do them.
Mm-hmm.
For this is your wisdom. This is your wisdom.
The correct application of knowledge. Otherwise, making good decisions towards reaching a goal. The commandments, the moral law, the civil law, the dietary law, the ceremonial law, is our wisdom. Read.
And your understanding.
And our understanding, our psychology. Read.
In the sight of the nation.
And who was going to observe our psychology and our wisdom?
The nation.
The nations was. They were supposed to observe this and say what?
Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
It was supposed to be like this from the beginning, y'all. I don't want to go into this. How much time? No, I ain't going to touch that. But it was supposed to be like that from the beginning. I hope y'all know this. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. Read.
For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob,
mm-hmm.
and will yet choose Israel,
mm-hmm.
and set them in their own land.
Read.
And the strangers shall be joined with them.
And the who?
The strangers shall be joined with them.
Now, this particular stranger is talking about the nations. It's going to prove it. The strangers are going to be joined with us. This is in the end of days. We're going to be settling our own land. We're going to have our own nationality, our own language, our own culture, our own flag, our own heritage. So we ain't got to listen to Edomites tell us, hey, nigga, go back to Africa. Hey, nigga, go back to Mexico. You illegals, go back to South and Central America. We ain't got to listen to that no more. We're going to be in our own land, have our own sovereignty. And who going to be there with us? And the strangers?
And the strangers shall be joined with them.
Read.
And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob.
What does it mean to cleave?
To cling on desperately.
Desperately. Hold on to. I hope I got this scripture. It says, hang on to the skirt to him as a Jew. Mashallah, if that's you, give me that scripture. I think I got it in class, though. Keep reading.
And the people shall take them and bring them to their place.
What people going to take them? Us? Is going to take who? The strangers, the nations, and bring them to our place. And hold up. How are they going to be placed? Read.
And the house of Israel shall possess them.
So how are they going to be brought if we possessing them? they're going to be in a procession. They might have chains on them. They might not have chains on them. They're going to be taken like cargo, like we were. Like we were. People read this, man, and they want to get in their feelings. They won't be so sensitive. Give me Colossians 3:25. Hold this. The Most High is just and upright, y'all. He's fair. He's always fair. And this is for us Israelites, too, man. We want to holler stuff ain't fair. We going through stuff. Yeah, the Most High is giving you what you deserve. Like I said, good or bad, like Scripture say, good or bad, happy say. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Read this.
But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done.
And if you do some wrong, it's coming back on you. Read.
And there is no respect of person.
And the Most High don't care who you are. If you kidnap people and stole them and make them work for you for free, then guess what's bound to happen to you and your generations that come after you? The exact same thing that happened to those people. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 2.
And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids.
Slaves. Read.
And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were.
Uh-huh.
And they shall rule over their oppressors.
And that's only fair. That is only fair, y'all. That's, people read, oh, that is so racist. But it wasn't when y'all did it. It wasn't when y'all did it. And you get our people, man, talking about, I'm going to change the system. The system has never been broke. The system was not designed for you. So you can't fix something that ain't broke. It's set up for us to be on the bottom and them on the top. The Most High is going to fix it.
And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow.
Why are we sorrowful now? Because we're in captivity. We're subservient to them. Read.
And from thy fear.
Fear of what? What these people might do to us? What they going to take away from us? I might get laid off tomorrow. I don't know, man. It ain't looking good around here. I don't know how I'm paying my rent. That eviction notice coming. I can feel it. Man, that pink slip that CPS put on your door when they about to cut your damn power off? I can feel it coming. That's fear. Read.
And from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve.
9 to 5, 6 to 10, or you work overnight. You work 11 to 7, 4 to 8. That hard bondage. Read. I'm sorry. That's all I wanted. It's got Isaiah 60:11.
Okay.
Yep.
Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually.
What gates going to be open continually? Hold this. We're coming back to it. Let's get Revelation 21, verse 22, my favorite chapter. Read.
And I saw no temple therein.
Revelation
21:22.
Start verse 21. Yeah.
And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass.
So it's given the description of the kingdom. Let's let you know it's got 12 gates. 12 gates for who? The 12 tribes. Read on.
And I saw no temple therein.
No temple. Why?
For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
So that's going to be the temple. I hope y'all seeing it. Now, that's whole Revelations. Let's flip back to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 11 again.
For thy gates shall be open continually.
Which gates? The gates we just read about. They're going to be open continually. When the Israelites are in our kingdom, that's going to be here on earth, people be so oblivious to this, and they say the Our Father prayer every day, every morning. Thy kingdom come. Meaning what? The Most High's kingdom, Yahushua's kingdom, Christ's kingdom is going to be here on the earth. This is what it's talking about. These are where the gates going to be open at continually. Read.
They shall not be shut day nor night.
They're going to be open. Read. Why though?
That men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles.
The word Gentile once again means nations. Why are our gates going to be open day and night? Because the Gentiles are going to be bringing their natural resources. Where? To the new capital of the world, Jerusalem. Read.
And that their kings may be brought.
And who's going to be coming?
Their kings may be brought.
Because they're going to be bowing down before us, like Christ told us in Revelation. We're going to get that. Read.
For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee.
Now listen to this part. Read it again.
For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee.
So you give the nation, Edomites, I ain't serving them niggas. No, let me say it more correctly. I'm not serving those niggas. Not those niggas. I'm not going to do it. Those monkeys. Those sticks and wetbacks, I'm not serving them. Hell no. I'll rather rain in hell than to serve in heaven. Read it again.
For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish.
They're going to die. Read.
Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
Utterly wasted. Now, let's see. If Christ said this, Luke chapter 19, verse 27. So they said, well, Christ is coming to say, everyone, he loves everybody, and everybody's going to get along, and he would never hurt anyone. Oh, Father God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Luke chapter 19, verse 27. But those mine enemies.
But those my enemies. Who is his enemies? Read.
Which would not that I should reign over them.
The same ones that Isaiah is talking about that don't want to serve. The nations that decide they not want to serve. The nations that still have psychological issues with paying honor to black and brown people. What are you going to do to them? Read.
Bring hither.
Bring them here. Read.
And slay them before me.
And kill them right before me. Right on the spot. This is Jesus talking right here. Probably not your Jesus, but this is the Jesus of the Bible. From there, let's get Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 60, verse 12.
For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish.
Uh-huh.
Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
Read, they got to go.
The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee.
What's the glory of Lebanon? Read.
The fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary.
So all of this, these natural resources from Lebanon, I told y'all. When it says the forces of the Gentiles in verse 11, this is what it's talking about. The nation's natural resources is coming to Jerusalem to beautify the sanctuary. Read.
To beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious.
Whew. Read on. Now listen to this part.
The sons also of them that afflicted thee.
It didn't say them. It says the sons, meaning what? Those generations. So for all this, for all you need, my son, I didn't own no slaves. Your ancestors did. So guess what? You got to pay, buddy. Read it again.
The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee.
They'll come what?
Bending unto thee.
And it ain't talking about no marriage proposal either. They're going to be on bending knee. What was that, Game of Thrones? Bend the knee. That's the gesture of submission. Read.
And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down.
Read that part again. One more again. Read it slower.
And all they that despise thee.
Put some bass in your voice. Read it again.
And all they that despise thee.
So all the nations that hate us, y'all. All, you know, the people at work that you can't stand and you know they can't stand you. The people at work that say, oh, it's you. I'm on my soapbox, y'all. This is what the lady at my job told me the other day. Oh, it's you. Yeah, I wanted to hit it with the too short favorite line. Y'all know what I mean. Read it again.
And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet.
Bow down. Read.
And they shall call thee the city of the Lord.
Read.
The Zion of the Holy One of Israel.
No doubt. Let's see what Christ said. Revelations 3 and 9. Oh, Isaiah, you let it go. I hope you didn't. You come right back to it. Let Isaiah go hard, man.
Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan.
Small hats. Read.
Which say they are Jews.
Uh-huh.
And are not.
Uh-huh.
But do lie.
So the chief house of Satan. Read.
Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet.
So the head tribe of the Edomites gonna come and worship before our feet, the Israelites, read.
And to know that I have loved thee.
And they gonna know that the Most High has loved us this whole time. Read.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience.
For us that have kept the word of Yahushua's patience. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60. Pick up in verse 15.
Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated.
Oh, we've been what?
Forsaken and hated.
What nation has cared about us? None. None of them cared about us. It's only when they see us, and take it back to the 60s, when did the whole world start criticizing America? When it was televised, them damn dogs was getting sick on us, and those damn water hoses being sprayed on us, and not just the world. That resonated with Esau to where they felt their guilt. Look at how we treat these people. Man, we can't be doing these people like that. And then only they started making legislation to change some of the stuff they was doing to us. And not all of it, some of it. It was only then that the world took notice. Man, look at the way they treat their people over there, them black folks. That ain't right. Let's bring it up to speed. George Floyd. Then they wanted to make legislation to change some things about the way the police deal with us. So a black man had to be murdered on worldwide television across the world. Every nation saw it. He's got the man calling for his mama. Where they would have develop a conscience, something like it anyway, to say, man, we can't do them like that. Everybody see our dirt. Man, they lifted up our skirt and seen our nakedness. They seen how we get down over here. They were embarrassed. That's all that was. But these people, read it again. Mm-hmm.
Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee.
Didn't nobody want to fool with us? No, they still don't. We're commodities. Always have been. Read.
I will make thee an eternal excellency.
What does the word eternal mean?
Forever.
What does the word excellence mean? the upper echelon, the standard forever. I hope y'all see this, man. This is what's coming, brothers and sisters. This is what we need to hold on to when we getting weak, when we getting weary. This is what we got to look forward to. You know, with this kind of reminds me of like a brochure. You know how you get those brochures when you about to go on a cruise or you about to go on a trip, and they show you all the good things that you're going to encounter on the trip because you're probably mad that it cost that much. You had to save for a year to get to it. But they're easing your mind and your pockets a little bit because they're showing you all the things you're going to get when you get to your final destination. But this is the Most High and his brochure showing us what we're going to get if we stay the course. Read.
A joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles.
What are we going to do?
Suck the milk of the Gentiles.
He's talking about their natural resources once again. Read.
And shall suck the breath of kings.
So the kings are going to give us their wealth. Read.
And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior.
Israel's Savior. Not the whole world. Y'all see how this is exclusive? Not inclusive? Like we've been led to believe? And it's only fair. Esau didn't have their kingdom exclusively. Shouldn't we have ours? It's only right. Read.
And thy Redeemer,
mm-hmm.
the Mighty One of Jacob.
No doubt. Read on.
For brass I will bring gold,
mm.
and for iron I will bring silver.
Some of the wealth we're about to have. Read.
And for wood, brass, and for stones, iron.
Mm-hmm.
I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness.
So we're going to be righteous slaveholders, y'all. We ain't going to do them like they did us. I know brothers be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do them like this. I'm going to just kill them and bring the Edomite back to life and kill them again and do this and do that. Nah, y'all. The Most High had rules on how we treated slaves back then. He's going to have them again. We can't do them any other kind of way. We can't be like them. We got to be better than them. Read.
Violence shall no more be heard in thy land.
Read.
Wasting nor destruction within thy borders.
So no more black-on-black crime. No more we got to hear about how our sisters are aborting babies and arguing for the right to kill babies like they're doing right now. No more us dying over damn fentanyl overdoses. No more of that. No more domestic violence. No more of this going on, y'all. No more suicides amongst our people. No more perpetual generational drug users amongst us. Read.
But thou shalt call thy walls salvation.
Our walls is going to be our protection. Read.
And thy gates praise.
Read.
The sun shall be no more thy light by day.
This man, the Bible is extraordinary. I can't even imagine this. No sun. Read.
Neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee.
But what's going to be our light? Read.
But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light.
Oof. We're going to be with the Father perpetually? Read.
And thy God, thy glory.
Read on.
Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended.
Read.
Thy people also shall be all righteous.
No, we're going to be wicked as hell.
All righteous.
Can't get right.
All righteous.
Halfway right.
All righteous.
Imagine being righteous, y'all, all of the time without an unrighteous thought in your mind. Bring it on, please. I'm waiting on that one, if I'm fortunate enough to get there. Read.
They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified.
Now let's get Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5. Verse 1.
Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness.
Then we're going to stand in great boldness because we're going to be righteous. Read.
Before the face of such as have afflicted him.
All the people that hate us, all the nations that hate us. Read.
And made no account of his labors.
And they make no account of our labors. Read.
When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear.
When they see us getting delivered out of this place in our kingdom, they gonna be scared as hell. Read.
And shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation.
They're gonna be amazed at those chariots coming beaming us up while this place is getting destroyed. Read.
So far beyond all that they looked for.
Something they never seen. Read.
And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit.
Now they're going to have some remorse. Feel bad. Read.
Shall say within themselves, this is he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach.
Man, we missed them people. We mistreated them people. Man, we gave them people proverbs to go by. Them people were shamed. Remember that dude that Edomite said in The Godfather? He says they're animals anyway, so let them kill themselves. He said we ain't have no spirit, no soul in us. We were godless people. Read.
We fools accounted his life madness.
See? And they think we mad. And why wouldn't they? We give them reason to. When we got our damn 8-9-year-olds twerking, or we twerking in front of them, and got them hitting us on the ass. When we hit the liquor store as soon as it opened. When we just smell like dank all the time. We are mad as a people. We gave them reason to. Read on. Read it again. Verse 4.
We fools accounted his life madness.
Read.
And end to be without honor.
No honor. Read.
How is he numbered among the children of God?
How are they God's people? Read.
And his lot is among the saints.
Read.
Therefore have we erred from the way of truth.
We got it all wrong. Read.
And the light of righteousness hath not shined unto us.
Read.
And the sun of righteousness rose not upon us.
We've been doing this wrong the whole time. Read.
We went the way of wickedness and destruction.
This is all we know. This is our entire life. Wickedness and destruction. Read.
Yea, we have gone through deserts where there lay no way, but as for the way of the Lord, we have not known it.
And this is what I always say about Edomites. This is true, y'all. It's proven it. They empty. They really are. This is why they have to take on everybody's culture and everybody. They have to pray to everybody's God and do all this because they're really an empty people, y'all. I hope y'all understand this. This is why they're into politics so much and technology and their careers. And like I said, they got to do everybody else's religion to the T and they become Christians and all of this. They're really empty. Read.
What have pride profited us?
Read.
Or what good have riches with our vaunting brought us?
And they're going to see we did deliver that. All their wealth was nothing. Read.
All those things are passed away like a shadow and as a post that hasted by and as a ship that passes over the waves of the water, which when it is gone by, the trace thereof cannot be found.
So this is Esau and the rest of the nations having a reckoning within themselves, knowing that we're the true chosen people of the book of the Most High. And he's only loved us, and that's been forever. And us getting the hell up out of here. So, y'all, this is the last scripture. I hope everybody got some edification out of this class. Glad I was able to finish it tonight. If you have any questions concerning this class or any other topic, man, please hit me up with your questions. We love questions. This is how we generate topics for class. You can hit me up at 314-482-9110, man. But that's going to do it for us tonight here at Bible Talk. the Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast, the Water Y'all for y'all support and listening in on Blog Talk, man. And with that, you got anything you want to say? We going to say shalom, y'all. We're going to ride out to this.
In your eyes.